Right.
Welcome, everyone.
Oh. Hey, what's up?
Hi.
So, Oxenfree.
Wow. Yes.
Yep.
Sound of silence.
And we're done.
What are you guys thinking so far?
I like it. Yeah. I'm into the mystery.
It's so much faster paced than what we've been dealing with.
Yeah.
I was delighted that it could hold my attention. And that dialogue is just amazing.
Oh my gosh, the dialogue.
Yeah, yes. Those voice actors deserve a raise.
Yes, they do.
You know, the guy who voices Jonas is the same guy who voices Kenny in the Walking Dead Telltale game.
Huh.
Oh, really?
Which is very, very weird because it's like a completely different voice.
Yeah.
I just happened to be looking it up because I thought that Alex might have been Max from Life is Strange. They sound exactly the same.
No, well, I do know. I'm pretty sure.
Not Max. Sorry, right. Zoe. Her name is Chloe.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I do know. I'm pretty sure that she's the voice of, in Firewatch. She's one of the main voices in Firewatch, I think. It sounds cool. Very similar. I'm pretty sure it's her.
Yeah.
Are we playing Firewatch?
We are going to play Firewatch. I think at some point that's one of the games we're going to do, but...
Nice.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think it's like an Until Dawn meets, like, Super 8. Meets, like, you know, the Goonies.
Yeah. I'm getting, like, a vibe from Unsolved Mysteries. Like, you know, submarines go missing in the Bermuda Triangle type stuff.
Ah, Triangle.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Excellent. Cannot say enough. I mean, it scared the crap out of me, for sure. Which I cannot say the previous games have done greatly enough. So that was a welcome change.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really liked it. I like the difference of the pace, and I like how, as you're playing the game, it seems like it's not too much of a serious game, that it's not supposed to be really intense, but then once you've got that radio and the controllers, you know, we're doing it on the one, so the controller vibrates as you zone in on a frequency, and then it goes flashy, and then things are, you know, popping in and out. They did a good job of kind of making you feel like you'll be fine. No, you won't.
Yeah, I agree.
Without being excessive.
Yeah.
You know, well balanced.
Yeah, I think it walks the same sort of line as, you know, The Walking Dead does, in that, like, it's a horror game, but it's not about the horror, it's about the people. And, you know, while the horror is there adding to what's interesting about the people, it doesn't, you know, devote so much to the horror that you lose any story or anything like that. So I thought that was a really well balanced way to take on it.
Yeah, you know, I'm not a fan of the horror genre, but this I like because it doesn't amp up the horror to a high level. It's a part of the story, and it keeps it at that, and it doesn't try and do anything more than what it's trying to portray. And that's what I like about it.
Yeah, it's not over the top. Once we got the radio going, that's when things really started picking up, and I was like, my interest spiked. Oh, okay, this is pretty cool. And I started noticing things like the color of the dial changes depending on what potentially can happen with the radio, I thought.
Yep.
Yeah.
The radio was reminiscent for me of early Silent Hill games where it would detect monsters. And radio frequencies to really freak you out. So I was a big fan of that.
That's cool. I didn't even think of that.
What it was like? What kind of game?
Early Silent Hill.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Oh my gosh, I didn't even think about that. Wow.
I'll find a video.
Yeah, no, I totally remember that now. Wow.
So I had this game was kind of making me think about youthful adventures, maybe from my past, early middle school / early high school adventures with my friends running around before there were video games, right? Before we stayed inside and played video games all day.
Right.
Of course. Mm-hmm. No, that was still me back then too.
Jobs.
Yeah. anybody connect with that at all? Like, did you guys ever have any kind of, knee scraping, adventures back in the day that you care to share or brought you back?
Underage drinking?
Sure.
Well, I grew up in Montana, so yes. Yes. Definitely had that, reminiscence of Wiley used. Did not have an island that I could access, sadly. But, we had lakes and campgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
No cave spelunking, nothing like that. And after this game, I probably will never consider it. but it was really true to the period. I mean, you had the really kind of difficult interactions between Clarissa, that
yeah.
She felt really authentic in her like, why are you even here? I think more to like junior, senior year in high school when all the rich kids start having parties when their parents go out of town.
Yeah,
I can see a lot of that.
I've done some spelunking in my youth, so actually going into caves and stuff, that can be fun and frightening all at the same time. So, but it's definitely an experience. So, I like that part of it.
Did you ever find any mysterious rock piles that communicated spirits to you?
if I had only brought my radio, I would have found out.
Oh, man, you missed an opportunity, dude.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Anytime I see a pile of rocks, I'm going to go find a radio.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, did definitely.
Sorry. Ahead,
Michelle. No, I was just confirming.
I told Stephanie earlier today that I was searching excitedly for a Morse code translator. I really wanted to know what was being transmitted over Morse code.
Yeah.
I couldn't figure it out, dang it, but I'd never paused a game to be like, wait a minute, I need to go and investigate this.
I want to know what this says.
It took me a bit to even... Oh, sorry, I was going to say, it took me a bit to even realize you could tune into the radio at those signs.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even realize
clear. Yeah, I didn't realize it until about halfway through this first half that at the little rock piles that if you tuned in your radio that it would kind of give you little snippets of history or that sort of thing.
Well, actually, you could tune in the radio anywhere. I was tuning it every time I got a little with the travel, maybe a little bored or something. I would stop and tune in the radio and see what I could pick up. There was one part, I can't remember where it was. You got on the one radio channel, you got this piano, single note piano playing. And then the last note was like sour. And I said, that is from another video game and I cannot figure out where it's from.
Huh.
Ooh. Ooh. If I come across it again, I'm going to have to grab the phone and record it.
Definitely.
Yeah. I'd be happy to identify.
Yeah, I know one part I was tuning the radio and it came to a Bugs Bunny cartoon that I recognized.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There's a lot of little Easter eggs in the game, too.
Something about a booby trap, I remember.
Yeah, Bugs Bunny.
Kind of reminds me of Lost. Anybody watch Lost?
Oh, God.
Yes.
I love Lost.
Yeah.
Lost is life.
As soon as I saw the hatch, I was like, oh, it's Lost.
Oh, yeah.
Very cool.
Huge, scary sound.
Wait, which hatch were you talking about?
Yeah, that's right.
It's the very first hatch that you come across. It's not really, it's more like a door, but it's got like a big handle. It's got like a big circular twist handle on it. It's like the very first door you see. Remember that?
Yeah.
That doesn't matter. All right.
Do you guys think that the writers did a good job portraying modern day teens with the characters' responses and actions? And which character do you most identify with, if any?
I don't know, because I'm not a modern day teen. I couldn't really answer that question.
Well, I would say, yeah. As far as like their reactions and stuff.
I mean, from what I would think a modern day teen would act, then yeah, sure.
Yeah, I'm a youth pastor, so I work with teens all the time, and it struck me as very true to life, especially when they're in the middle of having this massive fight, and Nona is like, group selfie time! And I'm just like, yeah, that's pretty good. So, yeah, I thought they did a great job portraying them in a beautiful way.
Yeah, I think they also did a really interesting job of presenting like family dynamics. How the two main characters are about to be step-siblings, and how they're kind of really meeting for the first time, or not really, but
yeah,
like meeting other people as that new dynamic. You know, I have step-siblings myself, and so I was about that age. At that time, I thought it was really genuine just how, you know, he wanted to pull her aside and talk to her, and how they interacted, and, you know, just how, you know, like, her brother had died, and that one of their friends had dated her brother at one point. Like, I found the relationship dynamics about that to be really true as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that the voice acting is great. However, I will say that there are points where I expect them to be a lot more panicked, and they don't sound panicked at all. Like, guys, do you realize the magnitude of the situation right now? You act a little more scared, please.
That's true.
I'll leave that to us, I guess.
Yeah.
But other times, the dialogue's very believable. You know, when they have when they get into an argument or something, it flows very well. What do you guys think of without going off on too much of a tangent, what do you think of the whole, like, the way that the conversation works, where you can respond and you have like a certain amount of time to respond and click on different things? You guys like that?
Yeah,
I think that it's good because it's different, but it's also a little frustrating if you want to take a moment to kind of think about it. It's like, this one, or, oh, it's fading away. That one. No, that's not the one I wanted.
Yeah,
but I like it that it also doesn't pause everything, so that the story keeps going, you know, even if you do hesitate, you're not stopping. You know, and actually, I really like that. I like that it keeps the pace that way.
Yeah,
even sometimes when it says, you have no, nope, and nada, it's like, okay, it's all the same. I like that.
That was my one kind of gripe with the dialogue, where you didn't have time to really think about your choice, and I kind of wanted to listen to see, like, how long they would go with the conversation, but then you have to click a button, otherwise you weren't going to make a choice, and you had to interrupt what the other person was saying.
Yeah.
Oh, I interrupted all the time.
I also didn't like how easily you could accidentally interrupt them by walking too far.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes walking to a certain point would trigger something, and they were in the middle of saying interesting character development, so.
Yeah.
I mean, not the end of the world or anything, but a little frustrating.
Yeah, that was very, that was my only complaint as well, is the dialogue fading away before you could really evaluate what you wanted to say. And and as Chris two number two said, you should just put up numbers. and it would also interrupt the dialogue, so it's like, well, I wanted to hear what he was saying.
Yeah. <You know? laughs> Chris started calling number one. Nice.
I call it.
There you go.
You know, I think with the issue of that. I'm saying one of the issues about the dialogue being a little bit frustrating in that way. Good reason for replay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or you know, just. You know, and that's why, like, I didn't, it took me, I think it took me about 2 hours and 40 minutes to get to 2 a.m. And because I would just kind of stand around and listen to conversations until like the conversation was done. And then I was like, okay, I can go to the next point now.
I did the same thing. Until I realized that they actually purposely slow your movement down so you can actually, and they don't start you in a place where you're going to exit the screen usually.
Yeah.
So I just kind of started getting brave. All right, so, I mean, we talked a little bit about how, you know, the theme, so we can kind of move past that. I mean, it is definitely kind of spooky and dull at times, but, so let's kind of get into the plot and the theme. So, what do you guys think's going on? Is it ghosts? Is it demon possession? Aliens? Giant conspiracy? Prank? All of the above? That's theories on what's happening? What's that?
It's always aliens.
It's always aliens.
Go ahead, Chris.
They certainly seem to, at this point in the game, be making it seem like it's ghosts, from all indications. I don't know. I have this weird little Scooby-Doo instinct that makes me think that they're going to pull the mask off at the end and it's going to be something else. But at the moment, they're making it. It certainly seems like it's ghosts.
Yeah.
Are you going to say it's the lighthouse keeper then? It's always the lighthouse keeper.
Yeah, he would have gotten away with it, too.
But what with those kids?
That has to be the old lady. She's really alive, and she's masterminding it at all.
That would be
Miss Adler.
Be hilarious.
Wants to own the island for herself. She wants to set up a Disney World there. But I thought aliens only because of the radio and the triangle thingies. That's what I'm leaning towards, aliens. But you know, then you had the pictures with the you know, the orbs in it, and you know, the glowing red eyes. So it's like, boy, we're going in every direction. It's the same time.
Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, and I have no idea what the triangles are about. Like, that's not a common ghost trope that they like triangles. So, I have no idea what that's about.
Are you familiar with common ghost tropes?
I mean, I like to think really common ones I'm familiar with, but I'm no expert, I guess.
Fair enough.
Yeah, did you guys notice after the triangles filled out, they look like constellation?
Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
It's also really weird that they stay there. I have no idea what that's about. Like, that once you fill it in, it stays there. Mm-hmm. So,
I will say, just to Frank's point, I mean, there is some support of potentially a ghost thing because of the radio could be also like an electronic voice phenomenon type of deal. Yeah. Where you're, you know, which is practiced.
Yeah.
So that could be something that's going on too.
Yeah.
Someone would say something, I thought.
What do you guys think about how it's pretty centered on the submarine and the people that were lost? Because they do the hangman thing, and it's a lot of questions.
Yeah.
Was that the number of people who perished? Was that anywhere? Because I didn't get that question. I'm like, I don't remember them.
I just guessed. I just said the biggest number, and it was right.
They tell you in one of the at one of the signposts or something when you tune in, or not the signposts. I heard it. I heard it when I was by a rock pile, and I tuned in on the radio, and it gave me some information and said it there.
That's hilarious.
That's interesting.
I felt like I was that kid in class who just like didn't study, and I was. Just
Of course, I still got it wrong, so, you know.
Oh, what happened? I got all of them right just by dumb luck. Like, literally? Dumb luck, yeah. And what happens when you get it wrong?
I'm not sure.
What's his face? Gets possessed.
Sorry, what was that?
Who's your stepbrother, like, ends up getting possessed and levitates from on the ground?
Yeah. Oh, that happens anyway.
Oh, okay. I think they just get more agitated with you.
Okay, I wasn't sure if they would actually have a hangman they would draw or what.
They do draw.
Yeah, it does draw, yeah.
Oh, okay, they don't do that if you get it right, I guess.
Yeah,
my guy was... Yeah, he's like... Oh, no, I was just going to say he's like flipping out. He's like, you're not supposed to draw it that fast. like draws both legs at the same time.
Yeah.
That's not even fair.
That's not even how it's played. Ghosts. Jeez, play by the rules.
Yeah, exactly. If you're gonna if you're gonna taunt people with Hangman, learn the freaking rules.
Exactly.
We got the first two questions wrong, and I feared for the life of my character, so we googled the last one. And made sure we got at least one right.
Look at you.
Yeah, I had to. Those whatever voices they were, they sounded really disappointed. They were just killing people if they didn't get a straight answer.
Yeah, I will say, even going back to, like, the mood of the game, you know, even though, like, the game is kind of lighthearted and it's not really, you know, it's not, like, super scary, like, the ghosts and stuff, and that might just be, like, my own personal, like, you know, kind of scaredy catness, but the ghosts and, like, the red eyes and the darkness, and you would see, like, these ghostly figures, it was very spooky to me.
Hmm. Yeah, it is spooky, for sure. Go ahead, Frank.
Would I ask the classic Frank question? Were you supposed to go via the gondola and the campsite?
I mean, that's what I did.
That's what I did. And then I looked on a map and said, oh, you could also go if you make a hang a left at this other part. And I'm like, boy, did I go the wrong way?
Okay, speaking of map, let me just say real quick. I mean, it doesn't really do me much good now. But can you open the map again?
If you press control on the keyboard.
It doesn't tell you that much.
Yeah, the map's not super helpful, so I didn't open it again.
Wait, how do you do it?
Press control on the keyboard.
Control.
Control. Yeah.
I'm a console gamer.
So intuitive.
Well, for me, on the console, it was... Well, no. It was... Well, I play with a controller on the PC, and it was like the top left button on an Xbox controller.
Oh.
Is there anybody who went after Clarissa first? We all choose Ren.
I went after Clarissa first, I think.
Did you really?
Oh.
Yeah.
What?
What's wrong with you? I figured Ren could hold his own for a bit. She seemed like she was more in trouble, so I went after her.
I felt like she kind of
had earned the trouble,
so I let her stay.
You let her? She earned the trouble?
No, I was like, you know, I can let her be scared for a little bit, maybe.
I didn't care for Ren, so I was like, you know what? I don't want to hear his annoying voice. I'm going to go help Clarissa.
Okay,
wow.
This is not on my team. Next time we all go to
the no one in here has an annoying voice. I'd help all of y'all.
Thank you.
I'm glad we're recording this.
Yes. Delete this afterwards, though. It can't be recorded.
I guess.
Yeah, I just figured let her cool her jets over there, and I figured Ren was a bag of marbles, so it'd be better off to get Ren first.
Yeah. Yeah.
With that scenario, Chris, number one, when you went to Ren... How did that end? I mean, did you encounter Clarissa doing something shady? Ren?
No. When I went to Ren, it was Clarissa acting sketchy. Okay. She was like, I think that was the part where she was like jumping out the window and stuff like that.
Oh,
okay. So it didn't change it to where Ren was the one who jumped or anything?
No.
It was still Clarissa.
Was it 2 a.m. at Ren or 2 a.m. at Clarissa for you?
It was 2 a.m. after I'd saved both of them.
Oh, okay, so that's the deal. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if it... Does it matter? I think maybe the dialogue might change, but does it affect the game at all?
It doesn't seem like it.
I think other than Clarissa being mad for you not getting her first, that's it.
Yeah, but she's going to be mad anyway. She's
see? That was my logic.
Yeah.
He didn't pick her up in a limo, she was going to be mad, so, you know.
That's very true. Yeah. Okay, so the game so far has covered some heavy life issues without really making them huge deals, like Alex's brother's early death, which I'm guessing it was early, divorce, getting a new part of your family through a new marriage, and even possession. Do you think these issues were handled correctly by the writers and also the characters?
I think the Michael's death, and actually, Am I getting this right? Josh's mother died too?
Jonas.
Yeah. Jonah, what am I thinking? Yeah. Jonas, sorry. Yeah, so I think that was handled well with the angst and all that. Possession, the more I think about it, yeah, I mean, Ren's possession was pretty good, where he was at first very withdrawn and shaky and stuff like that. That was, you know, a little authentic. Where Jonas's possession was sort of like Hollywoodish, you know, being lifted up in the air and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I appreciated the dialogue options when, let's see, sorry, Jonas and, what's her name? Alex?
Alex, I mean, yeah.
They were talking about her, did they talk about her brother? No, sorry, when Clarissa brought up Alex's brother's death, Michael, you know, I liked how you could just tell her to shut her face. No, because that's exactly what should be done. You know, and I thought it was really, I don't like to use the word genuine, but it was pretty typical of the girls to bring that up, you know, and you know, I didn't feel alienated by it at all. I thought it was a good way to handle it. And I like that they don't dwell on it too much, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's important.
Yeah, it's a very lighthearted game, and there's definitely, I think Steph brings up a good point. I mean, it definitely touches on some heavier issues, and it does address those. But I think it's supposed to be sort of a fun experience, you know, dealing with real issues, but kind of more about the, it's more about the present and how these people have already coped, I think, in a way, with what they've been through.
Mm-hmm.
More or less just trying to stay alive and protect each other at this point.
Yeah, the other one. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, just to answer the question, I mean, I think that, again, aside from what I said before, where the character's dialogue sometimes, or I guess the affect in their voice doesn't quite scream, you know, peril. Possession. Yeah, possession. Or even fear, possession. You know. Yeah. Well, cause, yeah, but other than that, I think that, yeah, I think the writers did a decent job. I mean, they're creating their own universe. It doesn't necessarily have to be rooted in reality or anything. Yeah. But, and again, the possession thing is still a bit vague. I mean, it's hard to know what we're dealing with exactly here.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But go. Sorry, go ahead, Frank. I'm going to cut you off.
No, I was just going to say that the only character so far that's sort of gotten the short shrift is Nona. It's sort of like nothing really there yet. I hope they don't just put her along as an extra pair of shoes or something, you know. They do, you know, they flesh her out of it as well, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
Did anybody choose to stay by the campfire when they go into the cave?
No.
No, I went in the cave.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah, they asked, like, hey, do you want to come? And I was wondering, can you go and hang out with Nona and Clarissa? Because I felt like, yeah, Nona was super flat as a character, and I'd like to know more.
Yeah.
Sure.
I wonder if you could tell, you know, what happens? How does he, you know, would you get teleported someplace else? Or that's an interesting question.
They might just try. They might just convince you to go with them. You know what I mean? Like it might not. They might make it seem like an option. But then, if you would choose it, they'd be like, "Oh, well, just come on." You know, like you know, all the fun's gonna be over here, and so you would just end up going with them anyways. Maybe. Possibly.
Maybe.
That's one of the things about this game, which I guess speaks to the quality of the story, is that I really wanted to try every choice. Mm-hmm. Like, I was so disappointed that I couldn't go back and try every choice.
Can't rewind time and try it again.
I know, I've been spoiled, so.
That's Krista's method. Yeah, there's definitely, I felt immediately some reminiscence of Life is Strange, just with the way the characters were talking to each other.
Yeah.
And just the whole, you know, coming of age thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, we hear a little bit about Margaret sort of possibly having a role towards the end of this chapter in the mystery. You know, they're not quite sure what it is yet. They're sort of just beginning to scratch the surface of it. What do you guys think is going on? I mean, if you guys had to throw out a theory right now, if all the chips were on the table, what would your theory be?
Is that Margaret? Is that the old lady?
Yeah. Okay. The one who lived there. Yep.
Okay, so I have horrible recall memory. So, Chris, Margaret, the old lady, that doesn't tell me anything. Who is Margaret?
She's the one that they talk about when they first get there, how she was, like, the old lady who lived there. She has the house. They walk by her gate on the way up.
Wow.
She owned the island type of thing.
What's that?
She owned the island, I think, or yeah. Something.
I must have completely... I don't know. Sure, Margaret. Yeah, I know Margaret. Yeah.
Steph, are you Stephanie right now, or are you...
You know Margaret.
She's possessed.
I mean, I guess if I had to guess at this point, it seems to me from the one snippet that they say about her that almost this like malevolent ghost army from the submarine has been either kept at bay or kept, I guess, satisfied by her presence, you know, by having somebody to interact with. You know, and now that she's dead, there's no longer a cap on this force, whatever it is, and so they're kind of running wild since she only died 3 days before.
Yeah, that's plausible. I like that idea that at least she heard. I mean, if there's anybody who's a ghost in Undallan, it's probably her. So it could be a combination of all three. It could be, you know, things interacting with each other.
Well, and also now that I think about it, she's old enough that one of the people who died could have been a husband, a family member, you know, one of the submarine people who died could have been somehow related to her, so.
I wonder if that means we'll encounter her ghost at some point. Or
we shall see. Then I'll know where she is. What were you saying, Franco?
I'm betting yes. There's too much of a tease for them not to bring her in as a ghost.
Unless Zack Snyder wrote it, then.
Oh my gosh.
Won't get anything from that. Anyways.
We won't go there.
Walking.
Have there been any specific moments that have stood out to you so far? You may have already mentioned them, but.
So I went for Ren first, and you get to, I took the gondola over, and you go to that campsite, and you go to climb the wall, and it rewinds you back to where you were getting off the gondola, and I found that really interesting with how it just kept repeating itself, and, you know, slightly different every time, and, you know, finally it fixed itself, but it was kind of spooky and really interesting the way they were doing it.
And I think that was the most striking part for me as well, and the moment when the graffiti on the wall gets like burned off or whatever at the end, that was really creepy and really drew me in, so I think that the looping part there was probably the thing that stood out most to me.
I love the whole, like, VHS filter stuff that they do.
Yeah.
With the distorting the image and the white noise and all that stuff. I mean, you know, growing up in the 80s and living off of VHS for most of my young life, you know, it was kind of a nice nostalgic throwback there, so.
Go ahead, Frank.
Was I the only one who was trying to read the red hot graffiti?
Oh my gosh!
The what?
What does it say? What does it say? The one that lit up at the campground on the stone.
Oh yeah.
I'm like, what does it say? What does it say?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I could read it. I don't remember what it said though.
I don't remember either.
I don't remember being super interesting compared to the time loop I was stuck in, so I was a little distracted, I guess.
Am I ever going to get out of this?
Did anybody else turn the subtitles on after the first EVP moment?
We had to turn ours on immediately because when we first started playing the game, the sound didn't work at all.
Oh, jeez.
So, you know, we're seeing some of the text dialogue, but no audio, and we're just like, is this supposed to be like this? We had to restart the game, and then you know, turn on subtitles like, oh, wow, there's a whole lot of dialogue we missed.
Yeah, but you know? I came with subtitles on 100% of the time.
Yeah, I always use subtitles because I'm lame. So.
No, it's just too easy to miss stuff.
I couldn't understand the thing that was talking to me. Like the through the radio, you know.
Yeah, it was a little
saying.
Oh yeah, some of that radio dialogue still isn't subtitled.
I know some of it isn't, but I've noticed it later on. It's better to have the subtitles on, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of it's cryptic. I mean, it's disjointed, and you know, especially when you're speaking to the triangles or whatever, it's disjointed and cryptic, so you're not really sure what they're getting at.
Hashtag speaking to triangles.
There you go.
Yeah, I ran into a really weird bug after Jonas was possessed. And he was laying on the floor, and, you know, she was, you know, and Alex said something like, you know, just take your time, you know, as he was trying to wake up. He stayed laying down through the entire, like... through the entire time that Clarissa jumped out the window. I think right after she jumped out the window, he stood up. But the entire time he was like being, like his character was being dragged on the ground. And he would like crane his neck like to talk to me or to look in a direction. It was so weird. It was so weird.
That's a really weird bug.
he had that problem when he went to go check on the Mona?
Nona, yeah.
Sorry. Where we were following him, and then he just kind of stopped, like he got lost in thought. and then we're like, are you going to go save her, man? You know, because we're going to go this way. And he was just like, eh.
Yeah, I think sometimes the AI has pathing issues. Like maybe where Stephanie was standing, he couldn't figure out how to stand up.
Yeah, probably.
I'm just going to lay down.
Yeah, I'm just going to stay laying down and just being dragged across the screen up to the second floor.
I think, you know, the repeating scenes, you know, really got to me at first. But when you get to Clarissa and stuff starts to get pretty bad and it flashes through where she's hung herself, you know, I really wasn't prepared for her to kind of throw herself out the window.
Yeah.
Like, I would have been okay if we'd gone back in and she was dead on the floor, you know, like, as you kind of expected, but then just to see her and then watch her and not be able to do anything about it, it was awful.
Yeah. Did anybody panic like I did that it's because I got a question wrong on the hangman?
Yes, that's the first thing I asked, like, did I miss one? Did I fail her?
We can blame Life is Strange for that one, I think.
Yeah.
I'll be really interested to... Oh, go ahead, Franco.
I was going to say, thanks to Chris Clark, we know that if you get them all right, she still jumps out the window.
True. Yeah, I'll be really interested to know what, on the second half of the game, what it is about Jonas's mom, like why she appeared in the mirror on the second floor.
Yeah.
I thought that was really interesting.
Did she appear in the mirror?
Yeah, she appeared. Well, I believe so, right? It was her, and she told Alex to.
Wasn't that Alex?
Yeah, I thought that was her own reflection, like in the
water.
Oh,
was it her own reflection?
It's Alex,
Well, there was an option saying, let Jonas talk to his mother when the time comes. Yeah,
right. But Alex was saying that.
Oh, okay.
Well, her reflection.
Yeah,
saying.
It was like mirror Alex talking to real Alex.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you'll just have to wait and see, people.
Just have to wait and see. I'm excited. I'm excited to see what happens in the second half.
I really like this game. I was surprised. Yeah. When I saw some of the gameplay stuff of it, I was kind of like, eh. Like, all it looked like was them running around in caves, kind of at that weird view.
Yeah.
And I was like, this looks really weird. I thought it was going to be a puzzle game.
Mm-hmm.
But it is very story-driven.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. I was pleasantly surprised, because I watched the trailer, and I was like, eh. I mean, I normally wouldn't play this, but for game chat, I guess I'll play it. But no, I'm now that I'm playing it, I'm really into it.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, after White Knight, we're never picking a bad game. We know. We learned our lesson. Better to learn it then.
I was going to say, go ahead.
I was going to say, something that I like about this, one of you had mentioned how it has that old VHS look to it,
mm-hmm.
and those moments when everything, when the screen goes all bad, and there's actually like a full screen flash of an image that you barely can see, but I like that in a way it's bringing us into the game, like as a player, that it's not happening to our, you know, these people, but somehow it's trying to connect to us.
You know, mm-hmm.
I really like that.
Good point.
That's a neat, that's something that's different, that's good. And still extra creepy.
Yeah.
I always get kind of wigged out kind of when you get those 1 second or sub-second flashes.
Yes.
What are you trying to do to me?
Yes. You guys playing with headphones on?
No.
Yeah.
Should.
Nope.
Okay.
Play the second half with headphones on. It definitely increases the immersive experience.
It's just interesting.
Yeah, the radio is cool, and it's just, yeah, it's... I love that radio concept.
Mm-hmm.
What was that, Mason?
Even the background music is really good.
It is, yeah. Yeah, I started tonight as I was playing... I'm ahead of you guys, so... But trying to just enjoy, like, or just try to like, take note of the backgrounds. The art is beautiful in this game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it really does a good job of kind of separating the characters from the background, so you're not so focused on it, but if you really mm-hmm. look at it, it's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like the character designs, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're simple, and you don't mm-hmm. even see their faces, but...
Yeah.
It's very... It's just a different take on the whole thing.
Yeah, at first I thought it was cheesy. Oh, go ahead.
Now, cheesy's right, but I think it does. It allows you to not be distracted by the medium, so that you can kind of be more immersed in the dialogue and the story, so you're not worried too much about what you're looking at, because it does blend together really well.
And unlike Life is Strange, I kind of actually felt like I was part of the dialogue. I felt like I was part of the conversation, not just choosing some random thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, at the end of someone being done talking. I liked how I kind of felt like I was progressing the conversation or altering it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Go ahead, Franco.
I was going to say that is one thing Until Dawn and Life is Strange has done, I guess, to me as a gamer, is I never now take a decision lightly in a...
I actually liked Until Dawn a lot more than I liked Life is Strange.
Well, yeah, for graphics, yeah. I mean, the graphics were unbelievable.
Or even just game. I mean, I
enjoyed the gameplay.
Yeah. Anybody else play that game?
I've seen it.
All of it.
What's
that? It's with the teenagers in the wilderness, and they're all trying to survive.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Benazir.
I haven't played it yet, but on my list.
Cheerleader, hero, girl.
Yeah.
Save the cheerleader.
Save the cheerleader. Save the world. There you go. Yeah. Worth solidify.
Not to do a spoiler, but the only thing I didn't like about Until Dawn is, I mean, that motion control thing was way too sensitive.
Really? I didn't have any trouble with that.
I lost one because of that.
Oh. Dude, I was so mad. I don't even know if we should get into it, but...
Yeah,
I lost, like, one guy that I had kept alive the entire game. I lost him in the dumbest way you could possibly think of.
Way to go, Odin.
Yeah, he was my favorite character, too. I was like, are you kidding me?
I think we might have done the same thing. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, maybe. We'll have to talk about it after, but... Well, we're probably coming down to the end, because, I mean, this is sort of a lighter game. There's not a whole lot to dive into. Which is fine. I think we're sort of ready for a game like this. Unless there's any other final thoughts, I'm going to let Steph we actually chose our next game. We normally wouldn't announce it till a week after, I guess, but we'll get ahead of it. And then I'm going to talk about the next...
I have a quick question for the group, if you wouldn't mind, before we move on.
Sure.
Yeah, I was just curious. Do you know what it means when a thought bubble appears above one of the character's heads with another character's face in it? Does that... significant?
I think it has something to do with you've picked, like, a... either an action or a dialogue that makes them think about that person, or that has to do... relates to that person.
Yeah, I was thinking it was probably something like that, but I wasn't sure. Like, is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? Does it mean I've strengthened their relationship?
Yeah, I mean, to me, it almost felt like it was, like, with Life is Strange, and you make you choose an action, and you get the thing of, like, oh, this person will remember that later, or, you know, type of thing, so.
Yeah.
I think that's something we can talk more about next week. You might be able to clarify some things.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
I don't think it's something that, like, well, I'm just saying it'll be easier to speculate then. I don't think it's ever going to be, like, fleshed out completely, but I think we'll talk about it next week.
Cool.
Will we talk about the anomalies next week, too?
The anomalies?
Yeah, when you dial a radio by, like, the rocks, and it says, you know, if you open up the map, it tells you how many anomalies you've collected. Yeah,
well, see, I don't even know how to open the flipping map, so we can't go by this guy.
Yeah, I only found, like, four anomalies. I got three.
Oh, you got four, you bastard.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't even know you could do it by the rocks, either.
Yeah.
If you see a little rock formation, you can open up your radio, and you'll get a, like, two-second short little message.
Yeah.
We got some by some lamps, too. Some streetlights.
By the lamps? I've missed so many.
Yeah, if there's ever a red light, then you can do the radio by it.
A red light where? Where's the red light at?
Like, if there's a lamp and red light instead of white light.
Oh, do that. Okay. Crap. Bagnabbit.
Yeah, and you get, like, about a couple seconds of some voice, and then a snippet of some radio thing, and it loops.
Yeah.
And we've been trying to figure out what it is, but it's been tough to understand.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's going right over my head, so I have no idea.
Yeah, and some of it's information, and, like, by the rock piles, I mean, because that's the only one that I knew about. Ugh. But some of it's information, and some of it's, like, snippets of something, like, talking or something like that. It's really strange.
Yeah, well, having said that, I will say, I'll tell you what, I'll give you guys the next stopping point, which is basically the end.
That's easy.
Great.
But, so just play through to the end. It's only two more hours. And one piece of advice I will say is learn your freaking way around that island.
Oh, no!
You do what I do, and you just, like, wander around trying to figure out where the fuck to go. And then add in the fact that you don't know how to open the map, and you're really screwed.
Control.
That's right, you didn't know about anything about the map. You poor soul.
I am a poor soul.
Jeez.
Yeah. So, anyways, just play through the end, and, it's good. It's a good second half. Final thoughts.
Next game, Steph?
Yes, the next game, guys, is going to be, drumroll please, it's going to be Undertale.
Ooh.
Has anyone played Undertale?
No, but there were a ton of cosplayers at Anime Boston this past weekend.
Ooh.
For
that's nice.
So.
Yeah, I had a ton of people tell me I have to play it, but I haven't yet, so.
Well, now you have an excuse to, Chris, number three. Let's see. Okay, so we're going to start this on, I guess, let's see. I even had the wrong date on there. That's going to be the second. So it's going to be April the 12th. It's going to be the first week that we'll be discussing it. I'll let you guys know next week where to stop, of course. It should last about 2 to 3 weeks, I would think. I would think close to three, but maybe just two. But I'll let you guys know next week, hopefully.
Yeah, if we can stretch it out for three, then we don't have to skip a week.
We'll
skip a week, because we're actually taking the 26th off, guys, just so you all know.
So 26th, no game chat, unfortunately. But let's see, I'm going to link a YouTube trailer here in the message thing for you guys to watch. It's kind of like an 8-bit game, but it's supposed to be really funny and really heartwarming and very story-driven. The synopsis is players control a human child as they navigate the fictional underground, a large, secluded region underneath the surface of the Earth. The inhabitants of the underground are called monsters, a diverse and intelligent group who have been banished from the surface following a war with humanity. The child interacts with many monsters on their quest to return to the surface, with the player making decisions on whether to kill or befriend them. These choices affect the outcome of the game to a large degree, with the dialogue and story outcome changing based on their decisions. And then just a little note on how well it's done. Undertale was acclaimed by reviewers, with praise particularly directed at its writing and characters and intuitive combat system. The game has sold over 500,000 copies and was nominated for multiple year-end accolades, including Game of the Year from several gaming publications.
Woot woot. You know, is there some kind of, like, foreshadowing that we play a lot of games that alter choice? Are we just dissatisfied with our lives?
I mean, that's a little dark, for sure.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much the gist of it. But I've only seen, like, I think maybe the very beginning of this game streamed, but I have heard nothing but good things about this game. So I'm really excited to play it.
Cool.
It has nothing to do with the fact that it looks like a 1980s MS-DOS like role-playing game, right?
Right. Exactly.
What's that, like King's Quest? What are those?
Yeah. It does look very old school. It looks even more old school than when they try to make it look old school.
Well, it was done all... The music, the writing, the game itself was all done by one guy.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah. I can't think of his name either, but if you Google it or go into the Steam page, it'll say that Toby something, I think. But, yeah, so it was all done by one guy, except for, like, some artwork done by a different person, but most of it was by just one person, so... Yeah.
Anybody ever play They Bleed Pixels?
No, that sounds disturbing.
kind of looks like that.
Is it an 8-bit RPG game?
No, just the art. Or oh, it didn't let me upload the picture. Oh well, doesn't matter.
You lose.
I lose. Oh wait, there it is.
There it is. Wow, that does look disturbing. Ow. There's a lot of blood there, Chris. There's a lot and candy. It's blood and candy. Pixel,
yes.
And pretty background.
There the is pumpkin. Candy.
That looks like it can induce seizures.
So is it all good, right, Chris? I mean, is that game good? We Bleed Pixels or no?
I didn't care for it too much. It kind of reminded me of like Super Meat Boy.
Okay.
Which I like, but it's, I don't know, it did okay. I only know it because we got a like a review copy of it, and it was just meh.
Yeah, okay, alright. Yeah, so, Undertale.
Coolness.
Does it say when it's coming out for the one? Cause...
I don't know, I know it's $10 on Steam, guys, so, I tried to find something a little bit, you know, around the $10 range, but, yeah, $10. I don't know when it's coming out on one. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, well, Oxenfree was supposed to be out on the console, too. That I don't think that's dropped yet.
it's on the one.
It is on the... Yeah, it came out on the one before the PS4.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Alright, well, if there's no further thoughts, then we will call it a night. All right, great.
All right.
See you next week, guys.
Yep.
All right.
Good talk, everyone.